Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello and welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirita with Mary Lou Nemecek, and we're going to talk a little bit about the season of Advent. This is, of course, being recorded during the first week of Advent 2020, the Annus Horribilis, the horrible year. We know that even though it was a horrible year, this is going to still be a great Advent, just like it was a great Lent. And we're praying for ourselves and for you all out there that the true meaning of Advent and the season really would come through in our lives today, even with the lockdown and the shutdown and all that stuff. If you went to Mass yesterday, we're recording on Monday, the first Sunday of Advent is the beginning of the liturgical year, of the church calendar year. So it's not a calendar year that begins in January. It's a calendar year that begins with the first weekend in usually the first weekend in December or the last weekend in November. And it is an ancient feast, an ancient season. Now, where did we get the idea of a liturgical calendar? Remember, liturgical means, liturgy means the work of the people. It's we work at worship. We work at liturgy. We work at offering the Lord God praise and thanksgiving. We inherited the ritual calendar, the idea that each month would be marked by certain feasts that would thank God for certain aspects of our lives, right? We got that from, of course, the Jews, right?
Right.
With all the various feasts of the Jews. And that's the idea, is that Advent is a period of time that leads up to the birth of the Lord, to the nativity of our Lord, all right? So in the Western churches, the liturgical calendar begins with the first week in Advent. We have, of course, 4 weeks, 4 Sundays, and then it leads up to the 7 days before Christmas, right? So right. That's just to kind of orient us. And then, of course, we have the 12 days of Christmas that end on January the 6th, the Feast of the Epiphany. That's kind of how the whole thing is structured. And the idea is that this period of Advent is a time for the faithful to prepare themselves worthily to celebrate the anniversary of the Lord's coming. So the first coming, right? The coming in the manger, the coming as the humble little boy, right? But also as the incarnate God of love. Imagine that just boggles the mind when you think about it. Helpless baby in the poverty bracket, living in a, like being born in a stable, in a manger, and yet being the incarnate God of love. I mean, isn't that something?
No one would ever have imagined a divine plan like that.
Yeah, which is why it's divine.
Yeah.
It's why God thinks of these things and we don't, you know? Mm-hmm. And the purpose of the season is to prepare ourselves and is also to kind of make our souls fitting, probably maybe more fitting, for the Lord coming in Holy Communion through grace. And also, of course, the other purpose of Advent is to prepare ourselves for receiving him in his first coming and also the Eucharist, but also to prepare ourselves to receive him when he will come at the end of time as the just judge. Right? So those are perhaps the two purposes of Advent. Traditionally, Advent was a time of penance. There was fasting during Advent, believe it or not. It's not, quote, the Christmas season. It's the Advent season leading up to Christmas and the 12 days of Christmas. Of course, we live in a society gone that has taken the idea of Christmas. If I watch one more, quote unquote, Christmas movie, you know, that has no reference to Jesus, to Christ, to the birthday of the Lord, to the purpose of the season. It's just like this giant, milky, diluted, sweet, overly sweet season in which everybody, quote, is supposed to be nice to one another, unquote. Right?
And everybody is supposed to be happy, which is, you know, sometimes that's not the case and people are just acting happy without.
And they don't know why they have to be happy.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Like, why should I be happy? Because the Hallmark Christmas card tells me to? Because the overly sweet Christmas movie tells me to? Because the people, the commercials tell me to? I mean, you know, you kind of have a divide in our culture between what is perceived as the Christmas season, which a lot of people just don't like, and what is perceived instead as the coming of the Lord, the first time and the future coming of the Lord. Doesn't it give you a different perspective?
It does. And, you know, I'm thinking as you're saying that, you know, what is the real joy of the season? The real joy of the season is that anticipation of the Lord coming. And unfortunately, you just described how we kind of put that aside and don't concentrate on that. We're just so distracted in the world today that we can't even take enough time to think about that until we go to that Mass on Christmas Eve, and then we're done.
Yeah, right. And go home, take the Christmas tree down on the 26th, the 27th.
Yeah.
All those trees at the curb.
I hate it because my tree stays up through January 6th.
Well, why? So tell me why your tree stays up till January 6th.
Well, for the 12 days of Christmas.
Okay. So, which means what? That they.
Well, it's actually the Christmas season that we go through.
Right.
And, you know, Christmas really starts on Christmas. It doesn't start in Advent. Advent is completely different from Christmas. And unfortunately, they're tied together now. I think I have it on my phone. Hold on. I thought that the Pope came out with something quite good about Advent. Hold on. I have a new iPhone.
Congratulations.
Yes, and it's so fast that I miss out on some stuff just trying to get, I need today's thing. Hold on. Gosh, say something while I find this.
Well,
oh, here it is. I've got it. Here's what Pope Francis said yesterday, I believe. He stressed that Advent is both a time of God's closeness and our watchfulness. It is important to remain watchful because one great mistake in life is to get absorbed in a thousand things and not to notice God. St. Augustine said, I fear that Jesus will pass by me unnoticed, drawn by our own interest and distracted by so many vain things. We risk losing sight of what is essential. That is why today the Lord repeats to all, I say be watchful, which goes back to the gospel yesterday. So, you know, I can check that box that Jesus could have walked past me during Advent and I wouldn't know it because I'm out shopping for Christmas and putting up the trees and the lights and doing all the politically correct things that are demanded, you know?
That's right. And it is your that's exactly right, where it's a time of watching and waiting. And that's what the gospel said from Mark yesterday, first Sunday of Advent, where they had the example of the householder coming back, the master of the house, and the warning of Jesus, watch and wait, because you do not know the hour or the day, right? And he's referring primarily, of course, to the second coming. But it also refers, I think, like in everything in the gospel, it has multiple layers of meaning, right? It also refers to our own coming. You know, if he doesn't come to us, we're going to go to him before he. It's all over, right? Because at our death, we appear before the Lord Jesus and we are judged. It is the particular judgment. It's not the final judgment, but it's a particular judgment. And we will know our eternal fate at that point. And that's what Jesus is saying. Watch and wait, because you don't know the hour or the day. Sitting here, I could keel over in the next breath, because no moment, no more further minute of time is guaranteed to us. We have to make the most of what we have. And, you know, that's why, in a certain sense, I'm always, in a certain way, surprised when people have a lot of notice, like they have a disease, or they have an illness, or they have a, you know, there's always sort of kind of a sense of preparation, a sense of, if you have your wits around you and you're a Christian and you want to concentrate on the right things, there is a certain sense where the Lord is usually pretty merciful about leading us towards that time, which is not to say that people don't die suddenly, of course, but we don't know the ways in which the Lord's mercy extends to those people as well, right? Because we're not them. So anyway, so what about Christmas the 25th? If you will recall your history, Oliver Cromwell in England, the Puritan ruler of England, the 1600s, actually banned Christmas. And a lot of the Puritans banned Christmas coming to the United States, you know, when they first colonized. Now, why would you say that? Because they said it was a pagan holiday. And in fact, December 25th was considered to be, by the Romans, the ancient Romans, the birthday of the sun. Sol Invictus, the unconquered sun. But the thing is this, that holiday was not observed by the Romans until 274 A.D.
Oh, interesting.
So that's after the coming of Christ, would you say?
It absolutely is.
Right. So if Christ, you know, the Passion and Resurrection is dated to 33 or 34 A.D., there you have it, right? So there's that. So it's not really, there was the winter festival, the winter holidays. There was, you know, there's always a passing of the season, right? Just like All Hallows Eve is also coinciding with the closing of the fertility of the ground, and then spring and Easter coincide with the return of the fertility of the ground. I mean, yes, of course, there's going to be an alignment with humanity's life and their cycles, but our duty as Christians is to what? To Christianize everything around us.
Right.
And so this period of time was Christianized. We don't think Jesus was born on December 25th, right? Because there are clues in the gospel which show that there were lambs in the fields, and lambs in the fields in Palestine were probably not until March or April. But who cares? Just like, you know, if your family can't make a celebration of Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving, you celebrate it whenever it's appropriate, right?
Well, you know, when you go back and say December 25th, going back to, you know, that Roman holiday, the Feast of the Sun, S-U-N. Well, this is the Feast of the Sun, S-O-N, coming into the world and providing the light, the sun, for us. We were coming out of darkness. And it's interesting because the days become longer December the 21st. So it's like light is starting to come back. We've been through the darkness of winter, and the days, you know, become longer. And it kind of all ties in. I mean, I think it's just a beautiful thought to think about the significance of winter kind of leaving us and light coming into our lives. And the whole point of Advent is to be prepared, you know, and people just lose sight of that. We all get so distracted with the world. And there's so many beautiful things during Advent, the readings and you know, the Old Testament readings, and when you think about Isaiah and some others, it just is so beautiful because They were waiting, 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 and they were not there when he came. How lucky we are that we have the full complement of scripture and tradition and magisterium to put it all in focus.
Don't you love the reading from Isaiah yesterday? Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is just, every time I read that passage, it's just like, it really expresses the longing of the heart. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, Lord, that the mountains would shake in your presence. I think mm-hmm. the verse finishes. How amazing is that? How beautiful is that? What an incredible Lord we serve, right? And we love, and we try to do our best to be like him, you know, failing miserably in my case. But what is the word? The name Advent, right? The word Advent comes from the Latin, which means to come to or to arrive to, which is a translation of the word parousia, Greek word parousia, which meant the sudden coming. The second coming of Christ. That's the way it's referred to, of course, in the book of Revelation. So the season offers an opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah and to be alert for a second coming. I mean, that's pretty concise, right? So it's a time of listening and waiting, listening and waiting. I remember once I heard a great picture. I've never lived in the country, thankfully. I am not a country girl. I'm more of a city girl. But if I live in the country and I live perhaps on a farm, and like we're here in Kentucky, and I know lots of people who live on farms, and they live, and when it's dark and I'm expecting my loved ones to come for Christmas or for Thanksgiving, perhaps I have small children, those children are going to be watching at the window. When is grandma coming? When is Uncle Tom coming? When is Aunt so-and-so coming? I want to see my cousins. And so, especially after dark, there's this waiting and watching, and like the little ones might wait at the window. They might wait for the lights of the car, right? They may be looking at checking out the front door. I know if I'm expecting guests, I'll open the front door and I will check the front door to make sure that people are coming and that, you know, I can be of service as they walk in the door, et cetera, et cetera. We make sure that the lights are on the Christmas tree, that the meal is ready. What does that mean? We're prepared, right? Mm-hmm. And then once we're prepared, we are watching and waiting. That's a great picture for me because it's more practical. The idea of being prepared and watching and waiting for the car lights of Jesus.
Exactly.
For Jesus to come and visit, right?
Right. And the kids don't have to go to bed early. They can stay up, you know.
Right.
They're participating as you are. And it's, I remember my children would always be so happy that they could stay up late, you know.
Uh-huh. I know, right? So it's like, that might be a good picture of the attitude that we need to adopt during Advent. John Paul II put it this way: Advent is a period of intense training that directs us decisively to the one who has already come, who will come, and who continuously comes. Isn't that beautiful?
It's beautiful.
So, you know, we know that the theme of Advent is watching and waiting, but it's joyful watching and waiting, right? It's preparing for the second coming while commemorating the first coming of Christ at Christmas. The usual liturgical color, of course, which is interesting, right? Because people come to church, and if they're at all clued in to liturgical colors, they see the priest dressed in purple, which is a penitential color, right?
Right.
And they'll say something like, well, why not? Why is he wearing what he wears in Lent? Because Advent is, like I said before, a penitential Sunday. But just like the third Sunday in Lent is Laetare Sunday, where Father gets to wear rose vestments to indicate the joy of the Lord, so we have Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday in Advent, where, again, Father gets to wear rose-colored vestments to indicate the joy of the coming of the Lord. And the joy, now why? Why should we be joyful? You know, a lot of people ask us that, right? They say, now what do I have to be happy for? What do I have to be grateful for? Well, the basic kerygma, you know, the basic good news, right? The Father John Ricardo wrote a great book called Rescued, in which he articulates the kerygma along four different ideas. We were created, we blew it, we rejected it.
Right.
We were rescued, and what is our response? right? That's the kerygma. Mm-hmm. God created us for himself. We and all creation are good, but unfortunately, we rejected him through sin. And by doing that, we handed the keys over to evil. So that results in the prince of this world, right, holding humanity in bondage. And that's why it's so important to be more aware of the fact that we, once we are baptized, we are outside of the domain of the evil one, right? Because right. at that point, greater is he who is within me than he who is in the world.
That's so powerful. It's just if people would just embrace that one thought. And, you know, we forget that we're made in the image and likeness of God. I mean, we're not accidents. We're not, I don't want to say subhuman. We belong to royalty. We belong
Amen.
To God the Father. And,
Amen.
You know, and we have the Blessed Mother who leads us, who helps us, who's there always. And, you know, it's just a shame when we forget to take advantage of all of that.
We rejected him. We became in bondage, but the Savior came. He set us free. He deified us. He brought us into his own life. And our response, what is our response? What should our response be? Well, one part of the response should be gratitude and watching and waiting and being prepared for the coming of the Lord in the Christmas at Christmas and also during Advent, right?
Right.
So this is where we're going to end our show today, but join us next time as we wrap up our comments on Advent. Thank you for joining us.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.